Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining me on the line is Willem Els. He's the Senior Training Coordinator on Terrorism and Explosives at the Transnational Threats and International Crimes Program. What a title. My gosh, Willem. And that is at the Institute for Security Studies. Thank you for joining me. Willem, what is South Africa's involvement in Mozambique currently? Do we have any armed forces there?
Hello, Kathy.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. Just to repeat now.
Okay, what is South Africa's involvement in Mozambique? Do we have any armed forces in Mozambique currently?
Kathy, the short answer is no, because Mozambique is a sovereign country. And, you know, for South Africa to deploy its forces there, Mozambique have to request them to come and assist, right, as they have to request SADC to come and assist. Neither South Africa or SADC can just move into Mozambique to assist them or to deploy forces there. So up to now, Mozambique has not assisted any assistance from South Africa for their troops deployment. So so that's why we do not have troops there at the moment.
Willem, is the Mozambican government seeing it as a serious threat with ISIS? Talking about these, I mean, are we calling them attacks? Are we calling them incursions? I'm not even familiar with the vocabulary around this.
Yeah, they refer to as an insurgency at the moment.
Insurgency, there we go.
I think they are serious because, you know, more than 2,700 people has died so far in Cabo Delgado. They've got almost 700,000 people that are internally displaced because of the conflict. So it's a huge shock for the country. It's taking its toll in terms of they have to look after those people, they have to feed these people, etc., etc. And Mozambique just doesn't have the means to do that. Hence the involvement of your international organizations to come and assist them with that. So Mozambique is aware of what is going on there. They are trying to counter that, but unfortunately, what was demonstrated over this weekend is that they don't really have the means to effectively counter what is happening there.
Do you think they'll ask for help from South Africa? I mean, they haven't in the past. That's why I ask.
We don't know what President Nyusi wants to do. The troika of SADC that is responsible for security in terms of the pact that was signed by all the SADC countries actually gathered at three times now. Once they even gathered in Maputo at the invitation of President Nyusi, where they offered the help, and he said he admitted that he needs help. And so what SADC then asked him is to provide them with a roadmap on what assistance he needs, et cetera, for them to help. Mm. But unfortunately, up till now, the indications are that he has not responded to the request of SADC for this roadmap.
Willem, can I also just confirm with you, those 2,700 lives that have been lost, those are since 2017, is that correct? That's not in this recent insurgency. It's still a lot.
No, not in the recent one. That is. Unfortunately, if you look at those 2,700, it's an estimation, because you must understand there's a complete blackout on information from Cabo Delgado or from the affected area. The Mozambican government actually deny access to any journalists to go in there. They're also reluctant to allow any foreigners or any researchers in there. So any information coming out of there is coming out of unconventional ways, via social media, et cetera, but there's a blackout on what is going on there.
Absolutely crazy. I mean, we've been reporting on it, and it kind of flares up, and then it quietens down, and then it flares up, and it's, all this time it's getting closer and closer and closer to the borders of South Africa. And I do wonder what our government would, what our reaction's going to be. You know, it's, I suppose only time will tell. Maybe it's a case of, you know, sit back and do nothing, and that it becomes something that is just left up to private companies like Total. I mean, and private companies to evacuate people.
Yeah, that is a real sad situation that happened out there. You know, these people, the offensive has been going on for some days. They actually had information or evidence what's going to happen, but it seems that there was not a lot of planning done in the evacuation or to counter it. And at the end of the day, these people were left to fend for themselves. At the private military company or contractors that are currently contracted by the Mozambican government, from South Africa, the DAG group or DAG, you know, those guys, they were busy demobilizing. So they did not have a lot of chopper fuel. They also did not have a lot of ammunition to counter these people. But they did go in, and the indications are that they really saved a lot of people. They saved a lot of people not only by extracting them with these helicopters until their fuel ran out, but also they countered them with the ammunition that they had, and they allowed for people to be able to flee. So a feather in the hat of this company. I know that they are under a lot of scrutiny because of the international Amnesty International report, but at the end of the day, they stood out of the water when no other country in SADC was actually available, or they had the means to go up.
Yeah, they had to have the will. Do you think that ISIS is a threat to South Africa? And we know, we've seen the reports that there are local cells here in South Africa. But, you know, do you think that that could ever happen? What's happening in Mozambique could happen in South Africa?
You know, these people prey on conditions that are conducive for them to thrive in. Hence their involvement in northern Mozambique. We see that, unfortunately so, in Africa, we've got a history of creating these conditions where people are not happy, where people are marginalized, where people have a lot of grievances that are not addressed. So, and they thrive on those conditions. The challenge is, are we addressing those conditions in South Africa? We know that there are people that are marginalized. We also know that there are people that feel neglected in South Africa as well. We do not say that they will rise up and go that way, but the possibility is there, yes.
Well, absolutely. I mean, when you look at how ISIS was, when ISIS first went into Iraq, it was a failed state. People didn't have water and they didn't have electricity. And the first thing that they did was they went in and they captured the water and they captured the electricity. They were celebrated. Do you remember that? Do you remember that, Willem? They were celebrated because all of a sudden they were providing to the people what the government had failed to provide. And we cannot be in a position where that is allowed to happen.
Kathy, and unfortunately, it is exactly the same scenario in northern Mozambique. The reason why they were able to go in, the reason why these people were unhappy is because of a total collapse of this social contract between the government and the people of Cabo Delgado. Service delivery collapsed completely. The people in Cabo Delgado, they refer to themselves in Portuguese as Cabo Esquecido. Now my Portuguese is not good, but what it means is the forgotten Cape. So instead of referring to themselves as Cabo Delgado, they say, we are the Forgotten Cape. You must understand, they are about 2,500 kilometers away. It's almost twice the distance from Johannesburg to Cape Town, sure. From Maputo. So they're so marginalized, they're so neglected. Mozambique does not really have the means from Maputo to really effectively deliver all of these things with the challenges that they have in government and so on. And they're also one of the poorest countries in the Southern Hemisphere. So there are challenges. And these people then go and they prey on that, because we don't say that the government was not wrong. We know that the government did neglect. But the dissent in that area started even with the Portuguese. You must understand that Frelimo originated also in Cabo Delgado. So they've got a history of dissent. They've got a history of standing up against government.
And it all starts with socioeconomic issues. So, Willem Els, thank you very much for chatting to me. Hopefully, we won't have to chat again soon. And, you know, we'll just keep an eye on what's been happening. Before I let you go, one last question from one of our listeners. Is this the most serious insurgency that we've seen since 2017?